All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis, chapter 22. All right, Genesis 22. I hope you have your Bible this morning because we're going to turn to several verses throughout the message, and I need you to follow what my line of thinking here this morning. All right, Genesis 22, let's begin in verse 1. And I'll go ahead and tell you, verse 8 is the text verse this morning. Well, let's read the story. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day," notice that, not second day, not fifth day. Remember, numbers mean something in the Bible, all right? Three is a number of completion in the Bible. "And so on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son." Now, let me just stop right there. You realize that this Old Testament story is a beautiful, perfect picture of what Jesus came to do for us on the cross. You understand that, right?
Yeah.
Now, Jesus, look at verse 2. The Lord Jesus was crucified on Mount Moriah. Mount Calvary, Calvary's mountain, is Mount Moriah. All right? Then, look down at verse 6. Abraham took the wood and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Isaac carried the wood on his back. So, I submit to you that Isaac and the Lord Jesus, both carried the wood that they were to be executed on. Isaac had the wood on his back. Jesus carried the cross. You see that? What a picture. Reading on, I'm not going to take the time to go into all these pictures this morning, but that one's good. All right, it says, upon his son, and he took the fire in his hand. Now, that doesn't mean he was carrying a fire. All right, he was carrying a bucket that had fire in it. Okay, he was carrying a pot that had live hot coals in it. That's what he used to start the fire with. All right, and they didn't have matches back then. They didn't have those little lighter things that you use for the birthday cakes. So he had to take the fire with him. All right. Then, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire. In other words, we've got the fire. And behold the wood. We've got the wood. It's on my back. And then he said, but where is the lamb for the offering? You see, if you're going to have a sacrifice, you have to have something to sacrifice. And they did not have a lamb with them. They did not bring a lamb. Now, Isaac did not know that he was the offering. He did not know that yet. But notice what Abraham said to him in verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Now, I want to take this 8th verse, and I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of God's lamb. I submit to you, folks, that the Lord Jesus Christ was God's lamb and is God's lamb. So let's pray, and then you keep your Bible open here, and then the message. Let's pray together. Father, we ask now for your blessing to be upon the preaching of the Word of God. We're thankful that we have a Bible, and what an amazing book it is. And I pray that you will help us to see the point this morning of what our Savior, the Lamb of God, did for us. And how clear is the gospel from this passage of Scripture. I pray that you will open our understanding and help us to get it and help us to apply it and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I think the most severe test that Abraham ever faced was when God told him in this chapter to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. You see, Isaac was the son of promise. He was given to Abraham in Abraham's old age and in his wife Sarah's old age. Both of them were way past the age of having children. Way past it. And yet God promised Abraham that he would bless the entire world through the descendants of Abraham. He said, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of you. Now, if all the nations are going to be blessed, Abraham has to have a son. And so God miraculously provided them with a son. Now, if ever there was a miracle baby, Isaac was that miracle baby. And so it just didn't make sense to Abraham to slay his only son on the altar would have been difficult enough. But when you realize God's promise to Abraham's seed and the fact that God said, I'm going to make a great nation out of thee, then it just makes it doubly difficult. But Abraham, he had so much faith in God that he did not hesitate to obey God's command. Now, if you go back, hold on a second. There it is. If you go back and look at Hebrews 11, now don't do it right now, but in verse 19, that's the chapter that gives us the Hebrew Hall of Fame. And in that 19th verse, we are told that Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead if he was obedient and did what God asked him to do. Now, you kind of get that in verse 5, when Abraham said to the servants that were with them, abide ye here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and I and the lad will come again unto you. All right, so Abraham believed with all of his heart that it because of the promise that God had made to him about his seed, he believed with all his heart, if he executed Isaac on that altar, that God would raise him up from the dead, and that they would come down the mountain together. Now, folks, this whole episode is a beautiful picture of the gospel in portraying the fact that God gave his only son, just like Isaac was Abraham's only son. He gave his only son and gave his beloved son. God gave his beloved son as a sacrifice for our sins. In fact, I believe, according to verse 2, I believe that God sent Abraham to Mount Moriah, and I think that Abraham was on the exact spot where 2,000 years later the Lord Jesus would be crucified. Mount Moriah is Mount Calvary. I want you to understand that. And I think that Abraham was on the exact spot. Now, there was no city of Jerusalem in this chapter. Jerusalem as a city is not built for several generations. But Mount Moriah has always been there. And so when God told Abraham, go to Moriah, I think that it was on Mount Calvary that Abraham built the altar, and it was on Mount Calvary where he laid his son upon that altar to offer him as a sacrifice to God. But whether or not that is the exact spot is really not all that important. What is important is what happened here is such a beautiful, great picture of what the Lord Jesus did for us. Now, on the way to the sacrifice, Isaac started to think a little bit, and he saw everything that had been provided except for the most important thing. Isaac did not see a lamb for them to offer unto God. And so he was a little confused. They had the wood, it was on Isaac's back. And they had the coals to build the fire with. But Isaac noticed they didn't have a lamb. And so he asked his daddy, "Dad, where is the lamb? I see the wood, I see the fire, but where is the lamb?" And verse 8, which I have chosen as a text this morning, is Abraham's answer. And it says volumes about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look over at verse 14 for just a second. Look at verse 14 of this chapter. I did not read all of the story. And when it was all over with, it says, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it," what's the next word? "Shall." Now, what is "it shall be"? Is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? Future. It's future tense, right. And so Abraham prophetically says here that in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. In other words, this is just a picture of the real thing. And the real thing happened in the New Testament, in the Gospels, when God sent his lamb. God provided a lamb for the whole world so that the whole world could be saved. Isn't that neat? So there's your picture in this verse. You see, folks, That's why I think that Abraham was on Mount Moriah when this happened, or as the New Testament calls it, Mount Calvary. But here is the main thing in the story. Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. And that's exactly what God did. Do you remember John 3:16? Of course you do. Everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he, what's the next word? Gave. God provided. God provided his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Abraham said God would provide himself a lamb. And that's exactly what God did when the Lord Jesus was born on that first Christmas morning. God sent his only Son to this world as his lamb. Do you remember when the Apostle John had the vision, the revelation given to him on the Isle of Patmos? And it says that he went up to heaven and he looked, and there he saw the Lamb of God sitting upon the throne. Isn't that amazing? John saw the Lamb of God, and that Lamb was the Lord Jesus Christ, sent to be a sacrifice for the sin of the world. Now, there are three avenues that I want you to look at this eighth verse. There are three roads I want to take you down, and they might seem like they overlap, but I'm going to emphasize the difference with each road. And so let's look at the first one. The first thing I want you to see, this verse teaches us that God will provide a lamb. Now, folks, this is, of course, the obvious thing, is it not? But there are some things that I need to emphasize about the fact that God will provide himself a lamb. The Lord Jesus was God's provided lamb to this world. When God sent his Son, he sent his Son as the Lamb of God. You see, man did not provide a Savior. It was God who provided a Savior for man. The only thing that man provided was a sinner who needed salvation from the Lord. It was God who provided the Lamb that would save the sinner. Now hold your place right here and go over to the New Testament for a moment, to the book of John, chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Now, I don't like to talk about folks, but man, in the first service, I didn't think they were ever going to find John. It was awful. I said, what are y'all stuck on, John or 1? Which has got you, which has you confused? All right, you got it? Oh, you did so much better than the early church crowd. My goodness. Are y'all smarter or what's the deal? Yeah, that's what it is. All right, look at verse 29, please. Now, this is talking about John the Baptist, all right? John the Baptist. And look at verse 29, John chapter 1, verse 29. It says, the next day, John, that's John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, what's the next word? The. Not a. The. Specifically, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, folks, listen. All the Jews understood that all of those lambs in the Old Testament, going all the way back through the law to Moses, going from Moses all the way back to Abraham, going from Abraham all the way back to Noah, and then before the flood, Noah all the way back to Adam. You remember when Adam sinned against God. God said, Adam, don't sin against me. When you do, dying physically, you will surely die spiritually. So Adam became a sinner and was destined because of his sin to spend eternity in hell. But God loves man. He loved Adam. And so God came and provided a lamb for Adam. God took two lambs, one for Adam, one for Eve. And God shed the skins of that lamb, which would have killed that lamb. Its blood would have been spilt. Is that a word? Spilt? Is that a word? If it ain't, I just made it one. All right, so and God provided them with a covering for their sin. Now, it did not take away their sin. You say, well, why not? Why only cover? Well, that's answered in the book of Hebrews, where the writer there said, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. All right? So you remember Eve went out and got a fig leaf or two, and she weaved them and sewed them together and made a covering for themselves. And I asked them in the first service, I wonder how many fig leaves Eve tried on before she said, I'll take this one. I'm just wondering. Don't get mad at me. I'm just wondering. I'm speculating. I have a wife. All right, so they just covered sin. But notice here in John 1, John the Baptist was baptizing down at the Jordan River. All the folks had come off the mountain out of the city of Jerusalem. There was a Jerusalem then. And they came down the mountain to hear John and to be baptized in the Jordan River. And so when John was baptizing, he saw the Lord Jesus and his disciples coming to the front. And John stopped, pointed his finger, and said to the people, behold, the Lamb of God. Not a lamb like all the rest of them back here that only covered sin, but behold, the Lamb of God that takes away sin. Isn't that great? You say, well, where does he take them? Who cares? What difference does it make? He takes them away. And I'm glad he does. Never to be remembered against us anymore, the Bible says. Okay, so Abraham said that God would provide a lamb. And then John the Baptist said, when he saw Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God. So Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the one that was sacrificed for us. Abraham said that God would provide himself a lamb, and that's exactly what God did. Again, in verse 14, in the mount of the Lord, Genesis 22, 14, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Abraham spoke prophetically all those centuries ago to Isaac and told him that the Lord will provide, just like the Lord provided for Abraham and Isaac with the ram that had its horns caught in the thicket. God would provide the world his lamb. Now, let me say this. The Lord Jesus is the only Lamb. He's the only Lamb. There is not another. Now, I know there have been some those folks who think they are God's Lamb. No, no. The Lord Jesus is the Lamb of God. There have been many wannabe messiahs in our world through the ages, but only the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that God provided. There's a verse in Acts 4 and verse 12 that is a wonderful verse that backs up this statement. And Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So the Lord Jesus is the only one that can save you. Now, in my opinion, this solves the whole matter of how a person gets saved. You know, it amazes me the way people have added to the matter of God's salvation. And they have made it about something other than through the Lord Jesus. Last Tuesday, Pastor Ray sent me this little meme, a little picture, and the caption said this. It said, "When you are relying on your own works for salvation." When you are relying on your own works. Get this now. When you are relying on your own works for salvation. And the picture was this. It was a white surge protector. Now, you know what that is, right? That's a little thing you buy and you plug into the wall, and it's got a little box, and there's like four or five, what's those things? Outlets where you can plug your TV, your VCR, whatever, into it. And so between your appliance and the socket, there is something that stops that current so that you don't get your TV fried if there's a lightning strike nearby. And so in the picture, here's what it showed. Now remember, the caption is, "When you are relying on your own works for salvation." And the picture shows that surge protector with the end that you would normally plug into an outlet to get electricity, but instead it shows it turned upside down and plugged in to the surge protector itself. Now, folks, that's not going to work. There is no power in that at all, and it's not going to work. And so it is with God's salvation. There is only one that a person that can redeem you from sin. There's only one who can save your soul. And that is God's Lamb. God gave the greatest gift that the world has ever seen when he provided the world with his Lamb. And this is, folks, listen, this is why we give gifts at Christmas time, in honor of the greatest gift that was ever given to man. Now, very quickly, number two. I said to you that there's a little bit of an overlap, but I'm going to define it a little clearer for you. Number two, God will provide a lamb for himself. All right, now let that sink in. God will provide a lamb for himself. My text says that that Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." God will provide. Now, my second point is, God will provide a lamb for himself. I really wonder if we have ever thought of what that little statement is saying to us. God will provide himself a lamb. You see, folks, God needed a lamb too. God needed a lamb too. If he was going to save a lost world, God had to have a sacrifice for a lost world. You might wonder, well, why would God need a lamb? Folks, the answer is because he cannot save folks without satisfying the just demands of his holiness. Now, what did his justice... I said that wrong. The answer is because he cannot save folks without satisfying the just demands of his justice. Now, what did his justice demand? Well, just go back. All right, go all the way back to in the garden. And you remember when Adam sinned, God said, dying thou shalt surely die. So the wages of sin is death. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. The Bible says in Romans that the wages of sin is death. In the book of James, lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is conceived, brings forth death. All right, so that's God's justice. God could not, listen carefully now, God could not just let Adam's sin go by. God could not just say, well, we'll just not pay attention to that. No. His justice demanded, in the Old Testament, his justice demanded that a spotless, innocent, firstborn lamb had to be sacrificed. It had to have its blood shed. It had to die in the place of the sinner to make atonement for the sinner's sin. So you see, when Adam sinned, God could not just simply forgive him. That's why God took the lambs, these two little spotless critters who had absolutely done nothing wrong, and God shed their blood and took the skins of those lambs and made a covering for Adam and Eve's sin. You say, Pastor, but I thought God was a God of mercy. Oh, he is. Oh, make no mistake about that. God could have said, okay, Adam, I told you not to sin against me, but you wouldn't listen. And so now you are just going to have to be on your own. And just like I told you, you're going to have to one day die, and then you will die spiritually when you die physically. Because you disobeyed me. That's the price, Adam. I told you that, but you wouldn't listen. So, folks, the wages of sin is death. But instead of taking Adam and casting him into hell for eternity, God provided Adam with the blood of a lamb. And God's mercy and God's justice were both satisfied. There's a verse in Romans 3, verse 26, that explains this very well. And Paul said that God needed the Lord Jesus as a sacrificial lamb in order, and I quote now, that he might be just and the justifier. So God can be just and the justifier of him who believeth. That means, folks, that every person will one day either face God Almighty in his mercy, or you will face him in his justice. Every person. If you're saved, you'll face him in mercy. And he'll say, come on in. If you're not saved, you will face God in his justice. And God will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Now let me illustrate this point. A teenager was driving home one day after school, after basketball practice. And he came around a curve and he hit an icy spot. And he slid off the road and went over an embankment and went down into a river. The man behind him, in the car behind him, saw what had happened. And he instantly hit the brakes, jumped out of his car, and ran down that embankment and went wading in, risking his own life to rescue that young man and to pull him to safety. Right before the car went under, that man pulled that teenage boy out of that sinking car. Several months later, that boy was arrested for driving under the influence. And when he went before the judge for his trial, he noticed the judge was the man who was following him on that fateful day, and the man who had saved his life. Well, the judge heard the case. He saw the evidence. And then he threw the book at that teenage boy. He gave him the maximum sentence. And the boy was shocked. And he looked at the judge after the sentence was read. And he said, "Sir, don't you recognize me?" And the judge looked at him and said, "Yes, son, I most certainly recognize you." The boy said, "Sir, you saved my life that evening. Can you not be merciful to me now?" And the judge said to the boy, "Son, on that day, I was your savior. But today, I am your judge." And my dear friend, you're either going to face Jesus as your Savior, or you're going to face Him as your judge. I hope that you have trusted Him as your Savior. You say, you see, that the Lord Jesus is God in the flesh, the great sacrifice for our sin. And I want you to understand that Jesus is as much God as God is God. The Lord will provide Himself a lamb. And He did. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. Do you know Him this morning? Is He your Savior, or is He going to be your judge? Third thing I want you to see. And again, let me state it, and then I'll explain it. Number three, God will provide Himself as the Lamb. All right, you see the difference? God will provide Himself as the Lamb. Look again at that eighth verse. All right, look at the eighth verse. He says, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb." All right, so it really depends on where you put the emphasis. You know, you got to put the emphasis on the right syllable. Right? And look at it. "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb." God will provide Himself as a lamb. And that's exactly what God did. You see, this shows us that Jesus, the Lamb of God, is God in the flesh. The Lord Jesus is God incarnate. This is a key and vital doctrine in the matter of salvation that God has provided for us. We call this doctrine the deity of Christ. And it simply means that Jesus Christ is God. He is God in the flesh. God himself was the lamb that was provided for the sacrifice. I told you last week in the morning message that there were throughout all the Old Testament thousands upon multiplied thousands of innocent lambs that were slain for sin. God had said, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And Abraham said to Isaac, son, God will provide himself a lamb. Or God will provide himself as a lamb, to help you understand it. He was looking down the road to the day when the promise God made to Adam of sending a redeemer would come. And he said that God would provide himself as the lamb. The only way we could possibly be saved was for God to provide the way. And so when Jesus came, that was God becoming flesh, becoming a human being, and dying to pay our sin debt. You see, folks, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, the great sacrifice for sin. And let me just say this, Jesus is as much God as God is God. You know, we think when we get to heaven, we're going to see three gods. No, you're not. No, you're not. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, Jesus himself said, God is spirit. Now, you can't see a spirit. If you see spirits, something wrong with you. Right? Uh-huh. Yeah. Don't tell anybody. All right. Don't tell, especially where you work. Don't tell anybody. They're going to look at you sideways. Don't do that. No, God is spirit. You can't see a spirit. And then there's the Holy Ghost. A spirit. You can't see the Holy Spirit. So when you get to heaven, who are you going to see? You're going to see Jesus, the Lamb of God. And that's exactly who John saw in the book of Revelation. He saw the Lamb sitting on the throne. When you get to heaven, you're going to see Jesus. And the reason is because Jesus is God incarnate. He is God in the flesh. He is God's provision for our sin. Now, question is, do you know him as your Savior? I'm so glad God provided himself a lamb. Now, folks, look here. This book, from beginning to end, Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament, is a book that tells us about the Lamb. That's what it's all about. Everything in this book is about Jesus. Amen. Somebody asked Spurgeon one time, what was the key to his preaching? And he said, I take a text and I make a beeline for the cross. Because that's what the book is all about. Now look here, go to Genesis 1. You can find that, can't you? Huh? Genesis chapter 1. It's on page 1. Right? Page 1. Look at it. Look here. Verse 1. Let's all read it together, can we? All right, let's everybody come to church. Here we go. Ready? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All right, now don't do it right now, but when you get home today, I want you to sit down and count. There are 44 letters in this verse. 44. Now, don't do it right now. I told you not to do it. All right. Now, go over to the last. This, by the way, first verse in the Bible, right? Now, go over to the last verse in the Bible. The book of Revelation and chapter 22. And look at verse 21. All right, you got it? All right, let's all read this one. Here we go. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, look here. Guess how many letters are in the last verse? 44. Exactly right. And when you get to the last verse of the Bible, I want you to go home this afternoon and count. And you're going to find Jesus right in the middle of that verse. You know why? Because Jesus is the central theme of the Bible. It's all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about baptism. It's not about communion. It's not about church membership. It's not about what kind of music you sing. It's about Jesus. And you had better be rightly related to Jesus or you're going to have a problem. You'll either stand before him in mercy or you'll stand before him in justice. I would much rather face his mercy than have to face his judgment.